Good morning, everyone. It's Todd.
And Julie.
With Chrisley Confessions. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm as good as I was 5 minutes ago before we started the podcast. So I hope that everyone is doing well. I mean, with all the things that we have on the news right now, I mean, it's kind of depressing when you wake up in the morning to even turn the television on.
It is.
But, folks, that will change on July the 9th because Chrisley Knows Best Season 8 is back.
Yes, yes, yes. And Thursday night at
fun,
9.
Yes, a fun season. You'll see how we navigate our way through some difficult situations, and you guys can continue to learn from mistakes that we make or successes that we have. So I'm so looking forward to the premiere again on July the 9th on USA Network.
Yeah, that's tomorrow.
That's right. So, folks, be there, and we'll be there as well. We'll be live tweeting. And, you know, we just got back from our 4th of July short vacation for about 3 days. And it was very nice.
Yes, it was.
Did you have a good time?
Yeah, I just was having this conversation, you know. It was beautiful. The weather was great. The scenery was great. The company was great. But, you know, it's not really a vacation when you take a bunch of children with you. You know, you really need a vacation from the vacation.
Well, this is true. But we didn't really have any drama.
We didn't have any drama. It's just, you know.
Just a little.
Yeah, it's just always something.
Always. You know, folks.
When you take kids, you know, it's always one meal leads to the next meal leads to the next meal. Then they want a snack. Then they want an ice cream. Then they want a snow cone. Then one wants to swim. Then one wants to tube. And one wants to ride a golf cart. I mean, it's just, okay.
But we had a nice time. We were blessed to be able to go, and we had a very nice trip.
Yes.
And so for that, we give thanks to the good Lord above and for all the family members that chose to go tag along. And it was a good time.
Yep.
You know, I give you guys an update or try to give you guys an update on the Georgia Department of Revenue every week. And something that I find, you know, that I wanted to talk about today, it does pertain to Georgia Department of Revenue, but it also pertains to the perception of people on social media. You know, when we go out here and with social media and we take a photograph and you've got a filter on it, you just enhanced your look, and that's not really the picture you post is really not the picture that you are. And we have fallen into this thing of believing everything that's on social media, and from the photographs to relationships to whatever. And I love social media. I think it's a great thing, but I also think at the same time, it is the downfall of this generation, because we live for other people's opinions and their likes and their critiques and what have you. Folks, I use social media as a tool to make people laugh, to shed light on injustices that are occurring in our country and with people that don't have a voice. I use social media to share, you know, happy moments in our lives, you know, with my kids and what have you. But I don't use social media to harm anyone. And so I want to make sure, you know, there was a couple of people that posted. I posted yesterday on my Instagram about Amy Doherty Hines, who was, and I'm proud to say was, an employee of the Georgia Department of Revenue. Now, Amy was let go, and, you know, I'd been pushing for that for probably 8 months. Now, you know, David Curry, who is the commissioner, he lumped Amy in with about 40 other employees and did this mass layoff. Now, folks, that was Mr. Curry, the commissioner's way of culling out the people that he knew that had committed crimes, but he did not want to fire her because he didn't want to bother her post-certification. So let me explain to you with that. What that means is if when you have someone with an estate position that has post-certification, if they do wrong, and she did do wrong, she, Amy Doherty Hines, utilized a federal database, GCIC, to gain information that she would not have had without pulling it about me, Julie, and Chase. And she did this knowing that it was wrong. and knowing that she should have never done it. And yes, folks, we know that the GCICs were pulled. We have the documentation on that. And we also have people that was involved with Amy, the ringleader, that has come forward and acknowledged that she pulled these GCICs on her own and that he was not involved in that part of it, which is ironic. I mean, you know, that we would be listening to that because, I mean, clearly we all know that Josh Waits had his hands on everything. But I posted this photograph of Amy on my Instagram and huge, huge feedback. I think right now there's 600 comments or 500 and something comments and about 20,000 likes. And I'm going to be posting another post today about Amy because I now know that Amy has reached out and trying to stay in law enforcement, trying to secure another job. Well, what happens, folks, when you have someone with post certification and you let them go because of criminal conduct or doing things that breaks the law or things that are inappropriate or violates their job description? You have a duty. David Curry has a duty as the commissioner to notify post about what he knows that Amy did. Her post certification, she should lose that because what's going to happen is she's applying for positions with other police departments, which will allow her to continue to have her badge, which will allow her to keep her post certification and allow her to go and utilize tools that the law enforcement has at their hands for wrongdoing, which is what she did with us. Now, that's been proven, folks. So a lot of you kept saying, what did this woman do? What did this woman do? Well, if you listen to Chrisley Confessions, you'd know what she did because I talk about it every week. If you'd read the caption, you'd know what she did because I posted it there. But this one individual said, it's kind of unfair for you to post this photo of this woman when you're not going to tell us what she did and because you have so many followers, so many more followers than what this girl has, a woman has. I don't care if this woman had a gazillion followers or if she's got two. Changes nothing about the criminal conduct that she did while employed with the Georgia Department of Revenue. Doesn't change the things that she did when she was working for Clayton County. It doesn't change the relationship she had with Joshua Carl Waits. It doesn't change the fact that she was a snitch within her own department, feeding false information back to the HR department about employees that she couldn't control. So she figured if she couldn't control them, she'd make up lies on them and then get them fired. And then she could bring in who she wanted. And that's, folks, basically the way that the whole Georgia Department of Revenue is collapsing right now because Stacey Guest built this department on her cronies from Clayton County and bringing in people that would do corrupt things. And she would stand back on the sidelines with her hands in the air like, I did not see a thing. I did not see a thing. Well, Stacey, we know that you did see it. We know that you knew what was going on with Josh. We know what the relationship was and still is with Josh. We know about properties being bought. We know about partnerships being formed. We know all of these things. You have someone like Jim Beveridge, who I've said for several times now, and this is going to come out in depositions because Stacey is an attorney. So I look forward to her deposition to where when she's asked what her relationship has been with Jim Beveridge for the last 20-something years, I long to hear what her response is going to be. And Stacey, I know you tune into the podcast, just as you do Meryl, just as you do Katie, just as you do Amy, just as I know everyone with the Department of Revenue that knows what's going on is listening to this podcast. So I'm calling you out now. This ain't no hearsay. It's what Todd said. I look forward to that question being posed to you, Stacey, and I look forward to what your answer is, because need I remind you that if you lie in that deposition about that question, you have perjured yourself, and nothing that you say at that point forward will have any credibility. But you already know that, Stacey. It's why you're so up in arms right now, trying to fit like a cat covering shit, trying to, you know, cover your trail. But doesn't matter. We've already have been on the trail now for quite some time.
Kamano Island Coffee gives you the smoothest tasting coffee in America today because all of their coffees are roasted and shipped to order within 48 hours. They only source USDA certified organic coffee. top 100% grade Arabica, low acid coffees. The Coffee Lovers membership is the most flexible coffee membership in America today because you never run out of coffee. It only ships when you want it, and you can choose how often you need it. You can pause or cancel orders whenever you want. They also pay over the fair trade rate for coffee and also commit 2% of revenue back to the farmers. Doing good tastes better. Join today and get $20 off your first order by visiting KamanoIslandCoffee.com/Chrisleys. That's $20 off your first order by visiting Kamano Island Coffee. That's KamanoIslandCoffee.com/Chrisleys.
So, folks, what I'm saying to you is that do the right thing. Take 5 minutes out of your day. Contact, you know, the Georgia Post Peace Officers Standards and Training Line, 770-732-5604, or you can email helpdesk@gapost.org. Ask for a full investigation into Joshua Carl Waits, into Amy Doherty Hines, into Scott Santilli, into Jeff Mitchell, into Jim Beveridge. Ask for a full investigation into these individuals because, folks, if they have a badge and just because they're fired or let go or laid off, whatever the term is that the Georgia Department of Revenue's Commissioner David Curry wants to put on it, fine, they're not there. But the problem is that this disease, you just eradicated it from your division. You know, you didn't stomp it out. And so what needs to happen is that the Georgia Post needs to review all of the facts. They need to do their interviews. They need to speak with the Chrisleys. They need to speak with the Chrisleys Council. They need to speak with OIG, because I know that OIG has a lot of the criminal conduct that has been alleged against Amy Doherty Hines, against Katie Colvin Vansell, against Scott Santilli, against Jeff Mitchell, you know, against Scott Purvis, against Stacey Guest, against Jim Beveridge. They are aware of this information, so I'm looking forward to seeing this report completed so that we know exactly how serious the OIG was when doing this investigation. Because now let's remember, folks, the governor appoints the commissioner of the Department of Revenue. OIG reports to the governor. So I'm not quite sure that this report that OIG is doing is going to be impartial. But we will know that based on who they shared it with, the facts that they obtained from it, and what they do with those facts. So what I'm saying to you is go out. It takes only 5 minutes to make a phone call or an email. And even if you're not in Georgia, use the email that I just gave you, use the phone number, because these folks in Georgia that are residents there, they deserve to be represented by people of ethics, people of compassion, people that are honest. And that's not what's happening. I mean, it was on the news yesterday, 20-something shootings in Atlanta. Oh, I don't know. I think it was like 24, 25 shootings in Atlanta in one weekend. And an 8-year-old little girl lost her life because of shootings. She was in a car. And yet we've got police officers that's been told to stand down. We've got the talk of this whole defunding the police. And I just read in an article this morning where the father of this 8-year-old was talking about, you know, Black Lives Matter movement, and was talking about he was speaking to the African-American community and said, "We're speaking out of both sides of our mouth here because now my daughter's dead. Where are the police during this?" Well, you know what? The police wasn't there because the police have been told to stand down. We cannot stand down. This is not a time in our country that we need to be standing down. It's a time in our country that we need to be standing up. And the laws are made or should have been created to be colorblind. I understand that they are not, nor have they ever been. But folks, focus on the implementation of the laws that are on the books and making sure that they are assessed appropriately and that there is no color bias in the sentencing guidelines and things like that. But Amy Doherty Hines, Josh Waits, all of these people that had badges that are certified through POST that can go out here and get other police officers' jobs, that needs to stop. They should not ever be allowed to work in law enforcement again, ever. And by them being let go, now Josh Waits was fired. So I believe that, you know, surely POST will look at that. No, you know, Amy Doherty Hines applying to other police departments for jobs, surely they should look into her background and realize that she couldn't pass a lie detector test. And I believe there were, based on what I have been told, there were multiple lie detector tests that she failed. But yet the Georgia Department of Revenue still kept her on. That should have told you everything you needed to know. When you look at her personnel record and you look at all the other people's personnel records, where was the accountability? There was no one there other than Joshua Carl Waits that was telling them what they could get away with. And they were doing exactly what he told them to do. And some of them, according to the report that we've received, Amy Doherty Hines was utilizing GCIC on her own. She was doing it for shits and giggles just because she's nosy as hell and wanted to figure out a different angle on how to take someone down so her name could be attached to that story. The same thing goes with the shooting that she was involved with a young African-American young man who was shot and killed. And the conversation that was brought back to us was that she and the other officers involved in that, they celebrate that kill date. Folks, do you understand how serious that is? But yet we're going to allow her to continue with a badge and a gun? Now, what I'm stating is something that I was told by someone that worked with her that literally knew of the anniversary of the death of this young African-American male, that she and her former colleagues that were involved in the shoot, that they all get together or they have a phone call on the 1 year anniversary each year of this shoot date. Folks, there's no celebration there. There should be no celebration there. I can't imagine that you'd want to have a conversation about it because it would haunt me for the rest of my life if I had taken someone's life, and especially if I'd taken someone's life in a way that could have been prevented. So we should not be giving credit to police officers who are out here murdering people, out here putting their knees in the necks of any individual, black, white, Asian, other. It's wrong. There's not enough training going on. This badge, when someone puts it on, it's almost like it says to them, I'm invincible. I can do what I want to do. The laws don't apply to me. I can manipulate the law to say whatever I want it to say because you're the civilian. I'm the police officer. When I go into a courtroom, I automatically get more credibility than you do. Folks, those days are over. I wouldn't want to be a police officer and going into a courtroom because I don't believe that the credibility is there anymore for police officers. And I don't believe all police officers are bad. I've stated that in previous podcasts. But what I will say is that it's appearing as if there's a lot more bad than what we had ever anticipated. You know, you like to say, well, you know, there's a bad apple in every bunch. Well, you know what? We're kind of getting to the point now to where it's 50-50. And when you start seeing those kind of ratios in law enforcement, there is something that needs to be done immediately because these people work for the taxpayers. So, you know, what I would say again is please contact the Georgia Post Peace Officer Standards and Training at 770-732-5604 or email helpdesk@georgiapost.org. Amy Doherty Hines, Scott Santilli, Jeff Mitchell, Scott Purvis, Josh Waits. These individuals, Jim Beveridge, these individuals all need to be investigated by the Georgia Post. And if they come to the same conclusions that we have, and we have the evidence to prove what I'm saying, or folks, I wouldn't come on this podcast and say it if we didn't have the documents and this testimony to back it up. So everything that I say on this podcast, I say it because the proof has been provided to me and to my counsel to show that what I'm going to say is factual. So do the right thing, folks. If you listen to the podcast, it'll take you 2 minutes to dial that number and file your complaint. If you are sitting at your desk, it'll take you 2 minutes to send that email to the help desk. Do the right thing and help prevent other families from going through what the Georgia Department of Revenue and Amy Doherty Hines and Josh Waits and Katie Colvin Vansel and Jeff Mitchell and Rufus Payne and all these other people there, stop them from doing this to another taxpayer who may not have had the resources or the platform to shed light on the lies and the deceit and the destruction that these people have done. So I ask again, please take the time to contact the Georgia Post. So I'm done with that on Georgia Department of Revenue. Now I want to talk about a situation that occurred with us regarding race and regarding the gossip of a neighbor. How long ago was it that we applied to the country club, Julie? To this one country club?
I don't know. It was
a year ago?
More than that, last spring.
Okay, so last spring, we applied to a country club here. And the neighbor of our new home, he was the president of the HOA. Now, keep in mind, Michael, his name's Michael Kaplan, he was the president and still may be the president of the HOA, although I heard he sold his house. You know, called to tell me, you're not getting in the club. And I said, I don't really care. How do you know that? He said, oh, I'm just messing with you. Well, folks, literally about a week later, we received Facebook. It was a Facebook message that I got of a chimpanzee dressed in a pink ballerina suit. And it says, we don't want monkeys in our club. Then I received another message of two male stick figures with one of them on his knees in front of the other one saying, we don't want this activity in our club. Now, you know, they're just trying to be clever, trying to say that I may have been gay. God, it's amazing. Is that the first time I've heard that? At any rate, so I received that. Then I receive a message in my email. Or not my email, but my messenger on Facebook, and it was a picture of Miss Piggy and a picture of Kermit. Now, we all know, if you followed Sesame Street, that Kermit and Miss
Piggy... Kermit.
Kermit the Frog.
That's Muppets.
Okay, Muppets.
Not Sesame Street.
Gotcha, Muppets. But we all know that Kermit and Miss Piggy had a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, it said, and we don't want this in our club either.
So, we've just covered everything. We've covered race. We've covered sexual orientation. And we're now fat shaming.
Right.
Okay.
So at any rate, so we get these messages and I contacted a friend of mine who was a sponsor, very wealthy couple here in Nashville, who was a sponsor for us. And I made her aware of it. And I pulled my application because I was not going to drop Chloe off to swim lessons there for that kind of ignorance to go on. I was not going to be a party and pay my dues to a club that I believe racially discriminates against sexual orientation. And I can assure you, I have seen many people coming out of that club that had issues with weight. And if you're concerned about bringing someone gay into your club, well, let's just say this, folks. They're already there. Most of them are married, but they're already there. And the reason I know this is because some of them's hit on me.
Schooling at home has been quite the adjustment. And believe it or not, we're going to have to make some decisions pretty quickly about what we're going to do when school starts back. So it's times like these that have inspired me to check out Laurel Springs. Laurel Springs offers online learning and has been doing this for nearly 30 years. As the experts in online learning, Laurel Springs has the tools in the curriculum your child needs to maintain their learning unhindered by whatever the future holds. And Lord knows we have no idea what the future holds. Their flexible learning programs designed for students in kindergarten through 12th grade offer challenging and diverse courses. And Laurel Springs is accredited by the Western Association of Schools and Colleges which means their transcripts are recognized by colleges and universities worldwide. So you can register your child at laurelsprings.com/cc today and receive a waived registration fee. That's laurelsprings.com/cc for your waived registration fee. That's laurelsprings.com/cc.
So, but Michael Kaplan kind of forewarned me, which let me believe that he could have been involved in those messages that were sent. Well, then I find out that Michael Kaplan had gone and talked about us throughout our new neighborhood here in Nashville. And because Michael is the type of person that if he can't have the biggest house, the nicest car, or lie to you and tell you he makes the most money, then he tries to take you out. He tries to besmirch your name. And folks, if you live in this neighborhood here in Nashville, in Brentwood, you need to know that I probably know more about your life than you would care for me to know. And that's because he shared all this information with me about other board members and about, you know, conversations that was had during the HOA meetings and, you know, this, that, and the other. And I knew what I was dealing with when I started dealing with this man, because I knew that any man that would come and talk shit to me about 50 other people that I don't even know is talking shit about me behind my back to those other 50 people. But then he told me a story about a couple in the neighborhood that the husband had had an affair with a pharmaceutical rep or a medical rep or whatever, and that they lived in the neighborhood and that their house was going to be coming on the market, and that if Savannah was looking for a house in the neighborhood, she ought to look at that house. Now, folks, I don't even know these people. I do not know the people, never met the people, and I shouldn't know about what's going on in their lives, because they didn't sign up for reality television. I did. But Michael told me that story. So I was sitting in a, you know, just having a conversation with another friend of mine in there. And I tell him, you know, what Michael had told me. Well, this guy sat there like in shock. And I said, is there any truth to it? Because this is the kind of person that we're dealing with here who's talking shit about this family behind their back, yet you're telling me that he's going on ski trips with him, he's best friends with him, and whatever. No one needs friends like that. I personally, folks, want someone to come and tell me that somebody that I'm trusting is betraying that trust, because then that gives me a heads up on what I'm dealing with. Let's go past all of the gossiping and the lies and, you know, him being worth a gazillion dollars and worth more than anybody else in Nashville. And he's going to run for mayor of Brentwood and trying to get me to, you know, to ride on a float in the parade or to give a shout out or whatever it was. I've got it in my text messages, Michael. So please don't deny it, because I'm sure that's not a question they ask you on your supposed lie detector test. But clearly his wife doesn't know that he's out here making these bitch moves and talking shit about everybody in the community, because now everyone's talking shit about them and how stupid she's acting, because she acts like he's not done any of this stuff. Now, he had this going away party because, like I said, they've sold their house and they're moving right outside the neighborhood. And it was like a farewell party or whatever. Trust me, everyone I've spoken to in this neighborhood is glad to celebrate that, because they all know that Michael's a gossip. But he proceeds to say that he is done with another neighbor in that neighborhood, and that neighbor lied on him, that he never said any of the things that this neighbor accused him of saying. You said it, Michael, because I've got the text message where you tried to say to me that I must have misunderstood, that you were talking about your wife's girlfriend's husband and that you were not talking about this couple in the neighborhood. Your wife's girlfriend's husband was not screwing a medical sales rep. So don't try to cover that up like a cat covering shit. You didn't have a lie detector test. Now, you've told that you've got those results. Michael, bring them. I sent you a text message yesterday, and I said, and folks, I will read it because I want to always be transparent with everything that I do. And let's see here. Now, a while back when I found all this stuff out, on March the 6th, 2017, I said, hello, guys, and I'm copying Michael Kaplan and another individual in that neighborhood, ex-NFL player. Hello, guys. First, let me start off by saying that I could truly give two shits less about what goes on in this neighborhood. What I do care about is my name being trashed and slandered. Michael, I have intentionally distanced myself from you after receiving two messages from folks at the country club about how you trash-talked us, then received from a fake Facebook account images of chimpanzees dressed in ballet costumes, then another insinuating that the club didn't want closet cocksuckers. That's the term I used, folks. Trust me, the club has that demographic on lockdown already. I then was told how you have trashed us in the neighborhood. You've sent text messages out about us. You've spoken directly to people about us. And I've let it go because I don't give a flying bleep, 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 bleep what you say. But hear me now and see it later. My name comes from your mouth again, and I will sue you for everything you claim in capital letters to have. Because remember, he claims to be, you know, as wealthy as Warren Buffett, if you listen to him talk his shit. You told me when I had you checking on the house for Savannah that the guy never responded to you, but another house on my street was probably coming on the market soon, and then told me where it was and to drive by. I asked, what's the deal? And you said, the guy's a doctor, and he was screwing one of his reps, and it's going to end in divorce. Now, why would I make that up? Why would I give a shit about people that I don't even know? And why would I even tell this individual what you told me? I told him because you had been talking shit behind my back to him. Your wife was talking shit to his wife. And then two more people told me about the messages that you had sent out via text. That's why I told this individual what you said. I also told him about you telling me about going to the Super Bowl and that he cheated on his wife and that you said I needed to keep him away from our girls in the pageant. So now, guys, everyone should be on the same page, and this bitch game of talking shit behind people's back should be over. I don't require a response to this message, nor do I wish to hear about it any further, Michael. Please contact my attorney, and I give my attorney's name, if you need anything else regarding me or my family. Also, let me add, and then I mentioned this ex-NFL player's name, that you should be able to confirm this as I've shown them to you. I have every text message that Michael has ever sent me. And I call this NFL player's name again. And I said, you have read them, so you know what I'm saying is true. Now, folks, this is a group text message that I've contacted the two people that's involved. So I receive a message back from Michael Kaplan that says, I have not said anything about you or your family. I'm not sure who told you this, but I would love to discuss it with you. I'm sorry if you do not believe me. As far as, and he lists this family's name that he told me all this stuff about, I have zero knowledge of blank ever doing anything that you say I said. The same with blank and blank. Your name does not come out of my mouth, so that is not something you need to worry about. So then I put the NFL player who's in this group text message, I put him on blast and just say, question mark. And Michael comes back and said, I will say. Now, folks, here's where you need to start noticing when I talk about silence of racism, silence of friendships, silence of gossiping. It's the silent people that are the most deadly. He comes back and says, after I put him on blast with the NFL player who told me this, I will say I sent an off-color text to him about you. I am sorry it was wrong of me to send, but I have never created a fake Facebook account and would love to talk to whomever said I did. Now, the NFL player chimes in and says, wow, from what I'm reading that Todd wrote is true with what he has told me. Yes, Todd, Mike sent that text, and when I spoke to him about it, I told him how I felt about all of this. And I went back and said, I don't care to engage in this messy behavior. I don't find comfort in others' misery, nor do I care to stomp someone when they're down. I learned many years ago that there are very few real friends in this life, and when you find them, take great care of them because they're very rare. I intend to move away from this situation and wish you both the very best. Now, folks, I've had no communication with this guy since that text message back in March. It is now July. So on yesterday, I had to send a message and said, good morning, gentlemen. I was informed again that I, as well as this NFL player, was the topic of conversation at Mike's party event after I had warned you, Mike, that if my name came from your mouth again, I would sue you for slander and defamation of character. I referenced the NFL player's name and said that this ass clown, referring to Mike, told that he's done with you. And then he said he had taken a lie detector test about what I had said and that he passed with flying colors and has the test results. I then address Mike directly in this text and say, Mike, we both know that's bullshit, that you've lied again. And because I warned you about your slander, I'm going to keep my word. Please provide your attorney's contact info so that they can accept service of my lawsuit so as to not have you served at your home. No response is required other than the info requested. We will subpoena your lie detector results. And I put that in quote, folks, because I know it's bullshit and they don't exist. As we get further into this, I reference the NFL player's name again and say, govern yourself accordingly. Govern yourself as you see fit or join my suit. Either way is fine by me. I received no response from either one of them. It's just messy, messy behavior by a grown man that should know better. It's appalling. But what I'm talking about, and the reason that I brought this up, is because it's the silent people that are skinning and grinning in your face that are the ones that are getting you when you're walking away. And he's proof of that. So, Michael, I know as thirsty as you are, and hang on every word that somebody of notoriety has because you try to attach yourself to anyone that has notoriety. Yeah, I have notoriety. I have it from the show, and I have it from my unfortunate indictment. But you can't hold nothing over on me, dude. My shit's out there in the public. I don't care what you say, but what you're not going to do is spread lies. So that $3.3 million or so that you got for your house, get it ready to pay your attorneys. Because you're going to come face-to-face with me, and I need you to bring your lie detector test with you. Because I already have three people that have reached out to me from your party that have told me what you said. I feel bad for your wife that she doesn't know the bitch moves that you make behind her back, and then you sit there and feed her a whole other line of garbage, making her think it's one way when it's totally the opposite. So, you know, the purpose of telling you guys all of this is that know who you're doing business with. Know who you're friends with. Know who you're conversing with, because these are the people that have the most potential at being the deadliest to you because they're within your inner circle. Michael was never within my inner circle. I knew Michael to be this bitchy HOA president who wanted to stick his nose in everyone else's business, and he had never had any power in his life. I'm sure that, you know, when he was in school, he was the chubby kid that didn't have a lot of friends and people made fun of him. But with that being said, he now wants to be the cool kid on the block. Well, in order for you to be the cool kid on the block, Mike, you got to be nice. You got to be kind. You got to show compassion. You've got to be colorblind. You've got to be a man of grace and dignity and compassion. And I haven't seen any of these qualities yet. Now, do I believe that he could possess them? Yes, I believe that all of us have the ability to be everything that I've just said. What I'm saying is that I haven't seen those qualities. And you don't hurt my feelings, Mike, when you talk shit about me. What it says to me is that I have your attention, that I make you envious or nervous, one of the two, about who I am. So at the end of the day, quit lying. Quit lying, dude. Because you're not going to like what I put out there if you keep coming for me. You're not going to, because Mike, you got secrets, dude. Every person in this country, in this world, has issues within their family, with their children, with their spouse, with their friends, with their business. But we should not be finding comfort, folks, in someone else's misfortune. And people like Mike and people like his little cronies at the country club that sent these messages via. Now, keep in mind, I made the president of the country club aware, who he's an attorney, local attorney here in Nashville. I made him aware of these messages that I received. Never heard another word about it. There was no follow-up on it. Instead, there was all kind of chatter about Todd Chrissy withdrawing his application. So I don't have any desire to be a part of a country club that hosts and promotes bigotry, that promotes racism, or that promotes sexist opinions. I'm beyond all that, folks. I'm 52 years old. I know how I'm going to live my life. And I'm going to live my life in a way that is serving of my Lord and Savior, that is going to be of kindness and decency, and making sure that the truth is always exposed. And that, folks, I'm not attacking Mike on this podcast. I'm exposing him because it's the best thing that could happen to him, because when he clearly doesn't know better. So when you expose someone and you point out the things that they've done that are wrong, then at that point you've educated them on what is better behavior. And then at that point, they no longer can say, well, I didn't know. If I had known, I would have done better. Well, Mike, now you know. So do better. So with that being said, folks, now let's move on to our first caller.
Hi, Todd. Hi, Julie. It's Emily, the surgical tech from Florida. I called and you guys had a lot of really wonderful things to say about my relationship with my dad. I just met him when I was 26, and we've had kind of a rocky relationship, and you all really said a lot of positive things about me needing to find counseling and really be supportive of myself and strengthen myself with my relationship with God. And I just wanted to shoot you guys a message back and say thank you so much for everything that you had to say. I have started online counseling because of COVID, so I can't go find anyone, like see anybody in person. But I have, and I have a great relationship with the doctor that I'm speaking to, and I'm really excited about it. And I have been getting much more into the scripture. I've always had a really great relationship with God. My mom and her family were always very, very supportive and really are the reasons that I have a strong relationship with God and with Christ. And in between the time that I called you and your answer, I have kind of spoken to my dad about the way that I feel about our relationship, and he is making much more of an effort. He is a little bit of a child, but he needed that guidance. And I think the important thing too is for me to tell him that I needed that guidance. And yes, the important thing at the end of the day was really that he needed to be there, 26 years ago, 29, really. I'm 29 now, but, we met 3 years ago. So yes, the important thing was that he needed to be there when I was growing up. I also thought about the fact that I need to ask for what I want, because I can't just assume that other people will know or that he knows, and he really doesn't know me. So he's made a bigger effort about reaching out to me and asking how I'm doing. I really think that at the end of the day, when I hand it over to God and I talk to my therapist about this, that a lot of my anxiety about it has been eased. And like Julie said, there are a lot of things that have come up that I really didn't even know were a problem for me. But yeah.
Thank you so much for that. And I'm glad that just those words were able to help you. And you know what? I will tell you, any relationship that is worth having is work. So I encourage you to keep putting that in that work with your dad and other people. It's okay, like I said, to let people know what's required, what they need to do to help foster the relationship. So best of luck to you. Next
Thank
caller.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Todd and Julie, this is Mary Hannah. I'm a student at Mississippi State University, and I had a question about how you have educated your other children, not including Chloe, on Black history. So I hope that I can get an answer, and I love y'all show, and I love your podcast. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much, Mary, from
Mississippi State.
You know, clearly we have had more conversations with Chloe about, because we didn't have Black Lives Matter when it came to my first four children. So clearly,
I think we did. It just wasn't as...
We didn't have the movement of Black Lives Matter when we were raising our four oldest children.
Right.
What we had raising our first four older children was that racism is wrong. that there should be no discrimination, that if you're competing in a pageant against a girl that's African American, you don't get a free pass. If she's prettier than you, she gets the crown. If she's smarter, if she's done more civic, you know, more community service, if her outreach is greater than yours, then she deserves to have the crown. If you're playing ball with someone of color or a different race, whatever, and they're a better ball player than you, no, they didn't choose them because they were black. They chose them because they were better at the sport than you. So my kids were raised very realistic, and they knew the difference between right and wrong. Now, clearly, some of them did not adhere to the ways that they've been raised. As a matter of fact, all four of them have not adhered to the way that they've been raised. But they have always been educated that they are to live their life with a servant's heart, to be kind, compassionate, and to never stand idly by when an injustice is occurring, because if you do, you've become part of the problem. You've not contributed to the solution to the problem. So, I mean, that's basically...
Absolutely. Basically, to treat people the way you want to be treated. And that is not a race or a color issue, but it is just a human issue. And I think if we all could get back to that, we'd be so much better off. Just to treat people with kindness, treat people the way you want to be treated. And I think that's the bottom line. So thanks, Mary, for that. Okay, so as I've said before, I always, always, always notice someone's smile. And I feel like it's important to have a great smile. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about our new partner, Intella White. Intella White just launched the biggest breakthrough in at-home teeth whitening in 20 years, the Indiglow Teeth Whitening Light System. What makes this product so unique is the patented purple light, which is safer, faster, and better at breaking up dental stains than outdated blue light system. It's also safer on enamel than any other system, and unlike other teeth whitening products on the market, has zero sensitivity. And Todd has actually tried Intella White, and he is loving the results, but he really loves the fact that he doesn't have that sensitivity, because with other teeth whitening, he's experienced a lot of sensitivity. Plus, it utilizes the same technology used in dentist offices, but at 1/3 of the cost. And with Indiglow, once you buy it, you don't have to keep going back to the dentist for treatments. You can do it in the privacy of your own home. So if you have a big Zoom meeting coming up or finally getting back into the dating scene, participants can use Indiglow, achieve amazing professional results with just one 20-minute session versus blue light products, which can take up to 3 weeks. Intella White has whitened over 2 million smiles and is the winner of Best Smile Whitening Product of 2020 by OK Magazine. So don't fall for those blue light products you can see all over your Instagram feed. The affordable Indiglow system has everything you need to get amazing results right at home. Right now, our listeners can get $50 off the new Indiglow teeth whitening system, but you have to go to tryindiglow.com and use the promo code CC. That's TRYINDIGLOW.com and use the promo code CC. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd and Julie. This takes a lot out of me to even make this phone call as a mother who has raised 5 children. I respect you guys. I have 2 boys and 3 girls. And my baby girl is a Marine. Will never take any crap from any man. But I have a daughter who has become involved with a man who has custody of his baby. That's a great thing in the state of Texas. That never happens. And now my daughter has become this amazing baby who I love. He's my grandbaby. She is now his mother. How do I convince my daughter to leave this man, but not the baby? How do I tell her that she's better than him, but she will never leave his baby. How do I do that? Because I've raised 5 babies, and they're all awesome. So now what do? Love y'all.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure exactly how to answer that question because I don't know what the situation is with your daughter and this man. You know, hopefully you know, she won't have to make that decision as far as to not be involved in this child's life. Because, you know, as parents, if we can truly put what is best for our child as our top priority, you know, that's what needs to happen. So I hope and I pray that if she doesn't end up staying with this man, that at least she can still be present in this child's life.
That was good. I mean, that's exactly what I would have said. Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd and Julie. My name is Michelle, and I love listening to your podcast. I just listened to your episode where you're talking about the Georgia State Revenue Department and how there's so much corruption. I just wanted to say I work for a state government, and there's corruption at every state government, or at least in my opinion and my experience. And this goes from doing illegal things and having people report it, and then nothing happens. Having people get positions that they're definitely not qualified for. The state government should have a list of here's all the qualifications you have to have, and most of the people do not have those qualifications. And basically it's everybody turning a blind eye. There's a lot of interconnectedness at the government levels. There's a lot of people who are related to people who have personal relationships. Maybe they're friends at a country club or their kids play soccer together, and they're all just interconnected. So I just wanted to let you guys know that, and maybe you guys can kind of look into all those players at the Georgia State Revenue Department. Thank you, guys. Love you. God bless.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for that. And I think Todd has said that many, many times that we unfortunately have had to deal with the state of Georgia, but, you know, we, of course, are not blind to think that it's not happening in other states. And that's why we encourage our listeners, we encourage people to know what's going on in your state, know what's going on in your community, in your state. I mean, government at every level, it's so important because these things are happening.
You know, I think that, you know, what happened with us with the Georgia Department of Revenue, it's unfortunate. And what you're saying is the absolute truth. There was so much nepotism involved from Stacey Guest with the Georgia Department of Revenue and the people that she brought in. She brought Josh Carl Waits in. And knowing that he did not have the credentials for that job, they passed up former FBI who applied for that job and gave it to Josh. Now, this man's credentials that was passed up for this position, Josh Waits would have been considered a ditch digger compared to this gentleman who was passed over.
Not that there's anything wrong with digging ditches.
No, but I'm talking about the level of experience, level of education, what have you. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's how it works. And that's what's going on right now with David Curry, the commissioner. He's trying to straddle the fence here, which is what most politicians do. And I have had so many people reach out to me. I mean, when I tell you folks, thousands of people saying, come back to Georgia, run for public office, run for president of the United States.
No, no.
But why not? Why not at this point, Julie? Mm-mm. Because everyone knows everything that was in our closets anyway. Mm. And the one thing that wasn't was your husband. So at the end of the day, you need to have people that have real life experience in these offices. You need to have people that don't go, you know, that their platform is, I went to this Ivy League college. I graduated from Yale. I graduated from Harvard. I did this. I did that. Where has that got us, folks?
No, I'm all about standing behind real people, good, honest, decent people that are truly out to, are about serving the people of the state, but not for us.
Well, it might not be for you, but it could be for me.
It could be, yeah.
So, you know, we need to have people in these positions that are going to handle things the appropriate way. If we have a guideline for a job description, The applicants need to meet or exceed those guidelines. If they don't, then those applications should be done away with immediately. It's a very simple process. But instead, we have people sitting on the church pew saying, well, you know, my son applied for a position within your company. You know, anything you could do to help would be greatly appreciated. Well, now all of a sudden, you got someone in a position of power that can go in here and pull this application. And because this kid's got absolutely no experience, just graduated college, he gets a job before another man or woman gets a job because his parents knew someone. Those kind of things should not be happening within the government, period. The government works for the people. And you should be able, when you take that position, if you have friends that value your friendship, they will not place you in a position to ask you to do something that steps outside of what you've committed to the rest of the of your state or of your country. So, you know, I think that at the end of the day, you cannot have nepotism in the government. You cannot have favoritism within the government. The government works for the people, and the people should be demanding excellence from the government. And clearly, folks, the people, taxpayers, are not receiving the best of what they're paying for. We have seen that at its finest during the Black Lives Matters march, between what's going on in all of these different states where mayors refuse to step up and step out. They care more about what people think of them than they care about the people that elected them. And no one wants to see mass destruction of their states. No one or of their cities. No one wants to see illegal killings going on at the hands of the people that are paid to protect us. No one wants to see abuse going on from someone abusing an elderly person or a child or a spouse or whatever. Those are crimes and they should be treated as such. But folks, until we, the people, step up and step out and demand that there be change systemically from every level, it won't change. It's easy to point a finger at the police officers, but do you know the proper chain of command? You've got the governor of the states and the mayors of these cities that are telling their police officers to stand down. What are these police officers supposed to do at that point? They're taking a direct order from someone that's higher up than them. You know, when you've got people out here in these government offices looking to further their political career, i.e. David Curry, i.e. Lynn Riley, who is now the state treasurer of the state of Georgia. And folks, she was involved with Josh Waits in this whole conspiracy to take the Chrisleys down. But she was promoted by the current seated governor, Governor Kemp, to a position as treasurer of the state of Georgia. Now, do I believe that Governor Kemp knows what Lynn Riley was doing with Josh Waits and how she worked with the press to gain notoriety for herself and her office? I don't know if he knew it or not. But what I do know is that he knows what David Curry's doing because I've put it out there. And I know that the governor's office and the OIG and the AG's office and everybody within the DOR listens and tunes in to what this podcast is saying, what I'm saying on this podcast. So you no longer can say, if I had known better, I would have done better. You know better now. If you don't believe what I'm saying, then reach out to my attorneys and say, can we get clarification on this? Where's the proof that you have that this is going on? Because you haven't done that. You haven't done that. Instead, you do a mass layoff with the Department of Revenue. And this, I just literally, you know how you get like alerts on your Facebook or whatever? I received an alert yesterday on my Facebook, and it was some lady who I don't even know. She had posted on her Facebook, and I'm going to read it to you what she said. I'm not sure if you guys have been following Todd Chris's exposure of the criminal activity that's been allegedly going on with the Georgia Department of Revenue lately, but because of it, the department's budget has suffered tremendously. Therefore, today, I went from having a 22-year career to not having income, insurance, or retirement at all. Please do not flood my phone with calls and texts today as I'm really trying to process this all right now. I woke up feeling amazing, so I do believe that this is all just God's way of moving me forward, moving me towards my true path in life. Now, folks, I don't know anything about this woman. She was not part of what I was trying to point out, but clearly she now knows that there was criminal activity going on within the Department of Revenue, that the Georgia Department of Revenue's budget was supposedly cut, and that all these people got let go. There were good people that were let go so that they could pad the books of the numbers that they were letting go so they could slide people like Amy Doherty Hines in there so that they wouldn't face a lawsuit from her, or so they wouldn't have to prove that what she had done was criminal, therefore affecting her post-certification. That's how clever they move things around on the board. But David Curry, commissioner of the Georgia Department of Revenue, I'm too smart for that. So is my legal team. So of the all of these employees that have reached out to us since you let them go, who have stories to tell. So at the end of the day, you know, do the right thing. There's never a wrong time to do the right thing, folks. And that's what's happening. There's a lot of right things happening right now, and things that you guys are going to hear about, you know, early September. And, you know, we're going to use their own words against them. We're going to use their own emails to prove our point. We're going to prove that they destroyed documents and emails and text messages. We're going to prove that they have committed fraud by using the GCIC and the FinCEN systems. We're going to prove that they have illegally used government computers to perpetuate the fraud that they have put against Julie and myself and my family. And many, many others, folks. Many other people have suffered at the hands of Joshua Carl Waits. And what does Joshua Carl Waits do? He goes out here and posts on his wife goes out here and posts on her Instagram a photo of a Louis Vuitton handbag that was just, you know, that I just got, I think it was yesterday or the day before yesterday, a copy of a Louis Vuitton handbag that she has. But yet, where's this money coming from? You know, that he went out here and supposedly bought this camper that he's going to travel the country in. Folks, where did that money come from? We have asked and the answers have still not been given. All we have been given from the AG's office is acknowledgement from Alex Sponseller that Joshua Carl Waits destroyed evidence from his phone and his computers, and that they no longer can retrieve it. Now, folks, why would he be destroying evidence? We can only assume that you destroy evidence in a case because it hurts you, because you wouldn't destroy it if it helped you. He destroyed this information because he knew that it proved what we were saying. But God is good, folks, and we already have a lot of that information that he destroyed. So, you know, it's amazing how he now wants to flip on everybody else and say that he didn't do this, that, you know, that yes, he was running a criminal investigation. And then you got other people saying, no, it was a civil investigation. All of this stuff that he's saying now, at the end of the day, we already knew that they had a criminal investigation. Because the documents and the text messages and the emails and stuff prove it. So when you go and say that, oh, this was a civil matter, it wasn't a civil matter. Clearly it wasn't a civil matter. And you pulled these reports with no criminal case numbers. You manufactured case numbers. So at the end of the day, the truth's coming out, and a lot of it already has, and I'm grateful to the good Lord above that he has shed light, you know, where there's been darkness, and that he will continue to do so. So thank you so much for your call. Last caller, please.
Hey, Todd and Julie. My name is Michael, and I had called in well over a year ago asking for help and advice after my dad had a stroke and me recently graduating from college with my master's degree. Shortly after hearing your input from the podcast, I had reached out to Nick Cardillas and began assisting him with his real estate social media strategy. And after some duration, I'll now help out Bill Rawlings as well. I just wanted to say thank you so much. from the bottom of my heart for taking the time back then and giving me the direction I needed so badly and to push forward. I still take it day by day, every day. If there's ever anything I can do to help y'all out, please let me know. Without this podcast, I wouldn't know where I would ever be today. Thank you so much.
Michael, thank you so, so much. I wasn't aware that you were working with Nick or Bill. And, you know, listen, God is good. And, I mean, God puts us where we're supposed to be. And if he used us as a vessel to get you to a place, you know, to where you're prospering and you're doing well and you feel better about your life as a whole, then that's our blessing. So you've been our blessing for the day, Michael. And I thank you for calling in. Folks, on that note, we've got to go because I'm now 8 minutes over.
Yes, we've got to go. But don't forget, new episode, Chrisley Knows Best, Thursday night, tomorrow night, 9, 8 Central.
On USA Network.
That's right.
Until next week, take care of each other, love each other, and respect each other. Good luck and God bless.